Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 644. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse, my trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is about to hop over on this desk, I believe. He's only on a desk opposite. Oh yeah, here he comes. Hopefully he doesn't start hitting buttons. He may start hitting buttons. He's saying hi. How's it going there, Mr. Fox? As of yet, don't have a second cat, as I had talked about last week, but I mean, my vacation's basically sort of started. I mean, I'm a couple days in now. It's looking like maybe next week I still will take on the second cat. We shall see how that turns out. Are you excited to have a roommate, Fox? Nope, he's almost jumped on the soundboard. He jumped on the table. He's already disinterested with what I have to do here. All right. Hopefully find something to do other than to freak out. Anyway, yeah. I think I did the intro properly. Sure, we'll say that. I think I said the right number and everything of the episodes. I know there's so many of them at this point. I mean, shit, a couple more years and I'll have done 1,000 of these fuckers. But yeah. The news, about the cat, yeah, still don't. So I haven't figured all of that out just yet. But I did get some, I haven't done, I guess, an update on this in a while. I do occasionally message the person that's building the table that I have. Of course, there was it's off of Etsy that I ordered it from, and they're woodworking place based out in Georgia, where there was a few hurricanes over the summer had hit. Of course, I ordered it before that happened, and it just so happened to be when he was supposed to be working on the table. And then apparently he had gotten into a car accident that kind of prevented him from working on some stuff for a while. But it sounds like that he's wrapped it up pretty much. The last update I had was like last week, I guess, that he was just looking for a courier, and it sounded like it probably wasn't going to a courier to send it here, to deliver it. But there was probably wasn't going to get it during the holiday break. Finding somebody to do that during the holidays is going to be a bit of a challenge. So I'm looking at hopefully then the first couple of weeks of January, somewhere in that time to hopefully get this thing. And I've yet to actually see pictures of it, so I'm a little skeptical still. I was like, is this, I have to wonder, like, is this right? Is this, but they did post, I think the guy building it maybe isn't on top of all the, there's a couple people that work there. I think there's like 4 people involved. Maybe he's not fully, in charge of doing like the marketing and stuff. I think somebody might have that works there might have taken a picture of my table, and because they posted another thing on Etsy for a table, and it's like a lava table that they're showing to be able to order one, and I think it's a picture of my table. I'm hoping it is, because this picture of this table is awesome. I'm hoping that's the picture of my table. Hopefully, if it's not, I hope mine's equally as nice. This one, the pictures of this one look pretty solid. I mean, it looks like real lava going through there. And that's what I wanted. I wanted a table that looked like basically like a part of Mordor or something, I like Lord of the Rings, but I'm not that huge of a Lord of the Rings fan. Otherwise, I maybe would have sent him one of those rings to like toss in there or something. Although I think the size of it would be a little odd to toss one of those in like it was going into the lava, but the scale Although, I mean, it could be a smaller thing of lava that's going through, just a vein of lava. But it'd be kind of cool to have a ring sticking out. But I wasn't that concerned about that. I just wanted to look like lava, because lava's fucking cool, man. I would love to see, you know, a volcano erupt. And just a fan of having that in, like, a table. I'm a fan of just woodwork in general. And so, yeah, hopefully, you know, before February hits, I'll have a fucking table. We'll see. I mean, and when I get it, I'll definitely speak more of it. Speak more of it and yada yada. I guess, I'm sure most people have probably seen. Oh man. I got an alert on my phone. That's breaking news as I'm recording this, but this is, I was going to talk about Luigi, but man, Ricky Henderson, baseball stolen base king, has died at 65. It doesn't say how. That was time when I really loved baseball, man. Ricky Henderson. He was on the Oakland A's during the time of the Bash Brothers. That is Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire. Back when McGwire and Canseco were stabbing each other in the ass with needles, injecting each other with steroids. That was a great team, though. I mean, it was entertaining to watch. And Ricky Henderson was a damn good baseball player. But it says here, according to the AP, it says Hall of Famer Ricky Henderson, the brash speedster who shattered stolen base records and redefined baseball's leadoff position, has died. He was 65. Henderson died on Friday. The Athletics said Saturday they were shocked and heartbroken by his passing, but did not specify on a cause of death. Known as baseball's Man of Steel, Henderson had a lengthy list of accolades and accomplishments over his nomadic 25-year career, an MVP, 10 All-Star selections, 2 World Series titles, and a Gold Glove Award. But it was stealing bases where Henderson made his name and dominated the sport like no other. He broke through with 100 steals in his first full season in the majors in 1980, topping Ty Cobb's AL single season record with Billy Martin's Billy Ball Oakland Athletics. He barely slowed, playing for 9 franchises over the next 2 decades. He broke Lou Brock's single season record of 118 by stealing 130 bases in 1982 and led the league in steals for 7 straight seasons and 12 overall. That's pretty impressive. He broke Brock's career record when he stole his 939th base on May 1st, 1991 for Oakland. He famously pulled third base out of the ground and showed it off to the adoring crowd before giving a speech that he capped by saying, "Lou Brock was a great base stealer, but today I'm the greatest of all time." Well, you know, you got to give yourself the accolades, right? That was a great time of baseball, though. You know, the Oakland A's, even though it was tainted by the steroids. I'm thinking Ricky Henderson was not doing steroids. It's a fun fact. He was not ogre-ish. Though maybe, I mean, he was on a team with Canseco and McGwire, though, so there's a chance a needle might have made its way. Just, he may have accidentally sat down on a needle, you know, a discarded needle, gotten a little, is there secondhand testosterone, secondhand steroids? Can you get that in the air somehow? I see him, like, sitting on a used needle on the bench. Like, oh, damn it, McGwire. You and Canseco need to keep this in your ass. Anyway, good thing to laugh when I find out somebody that died that I found entertainment in while they were alive. You know, they're watching the baseball, not them dying. I have no idea how he died. Anywho, I don't know how to segue out of that. I was going to talk about, of course, you know, I've talked the last couple of weeks about the killing of Brian Thompson, the CEO for Healthline, which I believe is who I had health insurance from at Magnet when I worked there. But I have Cigna now. From what I understand, like, you know, United is like the worst for denying health claims, or at least pretty high up there. As of course, I think I mentioned last week or the week before that they used an AI to determine whether or not people were getting denied claims, and it had a very high denial rate. And my computer's not working with me here. Getting some... a lot of pop-ups. Clicking on these pictures. I was going to talk about Luigi Mangione. I got to say it right. I got to give it the fucking... give it the proper, you know, embellishments, as it were. I'm trying to see, here, the perp walk. I just want to see the perp walk. I look at pictures of it. I've seen the perp walk, but I just want to see the perp walk. No audio. We don't need any audio. I don't want to see people break it down. Just give me the fucking perp walk. I didn't want the perp walk, you bastards. I just see videos of people reacting to it. Damn it. Ya bastards. Nobody's just has the perp walk. I don't put some audio. I don't kill the audio. Hopefully that didn't. Oh, they know what I'm into here. They're showing me pool ads for pool games. I've been playing more pool. I'll get into the pool here in a minute after this fucking ad gets through here. damn it. I'm going to find the Luigi perp walk. Perp walk. Doo-doo-doo. Just show me the footage, you assholes. I don't want to see you break it down, fuckers. Here we go. Let's see. I'm watching the perp walk now. I mean, this is like hilarious. If you didn't like get to see any pictures or watch the perp walk, I mean, I suggest watching some video. If they're on a fucking pier in New York and they've got like all of NYPD around him, he's in the orange jumpsuit, Luigi is, that is, and they got him in an oversized jumpsuit to make so his muscles aren't showing because, you know, he's too hot. We can't have him. We can't have his fans loving him even more by showing those guns off. So we're going to have this way oversized orange Department of Corrections jumpsuit. And looks like they have a brand new one. Looks nice and clean and sharp. he looks good in orange. I've got to say. I mean, he's just a good looking guy. They tried to dumb down the muscles, but you can tell, even though that's oversized, you can see some definition going on there. But they got him out on the pier, and, like, I guess they flew him in. I got to go back to the beginning of this. Like, I mean, there's at least, like, 20 to 30 NYPD surrounding him. And then there's, like, Mayor Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, who's probably going to be joining Luigi in jail before too long here, as he's got some serious charges against him, although Trump has said he would pardon him, which I'm going to guess he's going to have to pay some money if he wants Trump to pardon him. there's some issues that might send Eric Adams to jail, which is really funny. He's going to do a photo op behind Luigi as they're perp walking him with this massive force. This one guy that shot somebody on camera. Like they got to have the whole police squad, and it's like they're taking credit for, you know, taking him down when it was a fucking worker at McDonald's that just narked on him. That's what, in a different state. You know, their big police work was putting his picture up on the news, which, you know, anybody could have done had they had access to this. I mean, this is something that could have been done via cell phone. This is uploading this video. So, you know, they didn't exactly what they do, like comb Central Park. I guess they found the backpack. They found the backpack where he had the Monopoly money. But, I mean, he looks nice, cool, and calm. I guess it's not too cold of a day in New York when they were doing the perp walk. He's just, like, taking a stroll. He's got the DOC on the back of his jumpsuit, Department of Corrections. And it's just like, that's right, New York. We're showing you. We got him. We got him, fellas. We got him. We don't have the thousands of other people that kill somebody in New York, but we got this one. We got the one that you should be scared of that is killing CEOs. Killed a CEO. Not like multiple. He shot one guy. We have video of it. And, you know, we got him by having somebody narc on him at McDonald's. Way to go, guys. Way to go. But it is pretty fucking funny that they have that big of an epic showing. And to be able, you know, doing that for just to put the, I guess to put the fear, because I mean, it I don't know what they're thinking by doing that, because it just makes it seem more cool. I mean, it looks like, I've heard people say that he looks much like, you know, Batman criminal. Like, they've got all of Gotham City's finest out there to take him down. He's such a super villain. He needs a whole police force. Like, he killed one guy. We better get all NYPD out here. And we need the dogs. Get the dogs out here in case he makes a run for it. He shackled down. Oh, man, there's... I almost want to click on this. Luigi Mangione's mom makes shocking confession about the alleged shooter. I mean, that is tempting to hear that, but I don't have it set up to where I can hear the audio, and like it's probably not going to be anything that it's a 21 minute long video. Let's not do that. yeah, it's pretty exciting there. I imagine it's going to be quite a while before we get a trial on that. And unfortunately, it won't be televised. But I guess it is new since I did the last show that they are charting on terrorism. Kills one guy, and he's now a terrorist. Which I think could also blow up in their face, because his, you know, what appears to be his reason for doing this is because of how corrupt and awful the insurance industry is, and how they pretty much just kill people all the time by denying them coverage and whatnot, and just are just horrible. And it is not, it's all about profit, nothing about health. But I think, you know, by just charging murder, a degree of murder, leave out the terrorism bit, then he wouldn't be able to sit, fight in court and talk about, you know, how the whole motive, you know, for doing this, and like how evil like the health insurance industry is. That being said, because there's a terrorism thing, that you have to have the motive, you know, to cast fear amongst the population is, you know, one of the things. I'm not a fucking lawyer. I don't know all the ins and outs, but it seems like now you are forcing it to have to be argued in court, you know, the motive, which before, I mean, if you're just, or I not before, but if you're only going after the murder charges, and, you know, I guess motive would have an effect on whether it was murder in the first, murder in the second, what have you. Again, I just, you know, I watch a couple of legal videos. I'm not a fucking expert on this shit. But it just seems that that's, I mean, it's bullshit that they give him terrorism charges over this. I mean, I guess he's put some fear and terror into all the CEOs. I know that, I don't know that it was the FBI, the NSA, who exactly it was. There was a government organization that has put forward a hotline for CEOs that when they have death threats, they call this hotline. Basically, like the bat phone. They've got the bat phone. They've got Commissioner Gordon has set up a specific line for the CEOs because they are the most important people on this earth. And they are scared. They are scared, and they need protected because they are the most. They get paid the most because they are the most important. They are the most specialist, right? They are the ones that, when they die, that there's no way you could have a meeting over the direction of the company immediately following their death, like, and continue business as usual, because their job is that important. That is totally not what happened when Brian Thompson was slaughtered. They didn't just walk around his dead corpse and then proceedingly go on to have a meeting without skipping a beat. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm getting some word. I'm getting some news. No, that is exactly what they did. They just like walked over his body and then proceeded to have the meeting as normal and talk about how much money they were making. That is holy shit. Huh. It's almost like his job was pointless. Other than to, I guess, get money. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not a CEO. I can't really say that their jobs aren't important. I'm just a grunt. In factory work. I bleed, live and bleed, you know, for the product. Anyway, yeah, it's pretty crazy. The perp walk, though, if you haven't seen the perp walk, it's worth a seeing there. And apparently, like, I guess the New York Times magazine, and maybe others have said now that they're going to stop printing his fucking photo because they realize that it just makes people like him more because he's just too good looking. As you gotta figure, if there was anybody that didn't fear jail, it's gotta be Luigi, man. And because I would think there would so many people that are in jail that were fucked over at some point. You know, this is just a guess. Were fucked over, had family members fucked over by the healthcare system, and you know. Problem, look at this guy as a hero. And, you know, if I was going to give my extra pudding to somebody, it'd probably be Luigi. And I'm just going to say, if somebody wanted to fuck with Luigi, they'd probably have to fuck with some other people instead. I would be amazed if Luigi didn't have a bunch of bitches, you know, in line, have a crew. Apparently, they're keeping it in solitary. I guess they figure it's best to keep him away from other prisoners. Like, hey, he's got some ideas that might catch fire. Let's not have that spread. It's going to be like herpes, man. Everybody's going to get it here in a week. But yeah, other than that, I guess there's no real news on the Luigi. Now, on the personal front, on my front, that is, nothing. I have nothing to do with Luigi. I did not... Never knew him before. I just want to say that personally. No, the personal stuff I was going to say, of course, I've been off now for a couple of days. This is Saturday when I'm recording. Thursday was my first day off. And I've gotten a lot of sleep, man. Gotten a lot of sleep. I am well rested. I was running pretty solid on Thursday. And last year, this has already gone better than last year's time when we shut down for the holidays because... You know, I work in a construction industry, building shit. But this is the slow time of the year. And so often they'll shut down for at least a solid week. And last year we were off for, I think, around the same amount of time. It was like at least a little over a week. And I was sick the entire time. And this time, I've yet to be sick. I've been a little off because, well, first thing I did, Thursday morning, yeah, is when I did it. Okay, Thursday, first thing I did when I got up, I went and had, I had told my friend from work, John, that I've mentioned him a lot on the podcast here lately. We've been hanging out a lot. But we're not fucking. I want to point that out. We are not fucking. I'm not going to fuck him. Anyway, I knew I was about due for a tetanus shot. I was like, they're good for 10 years. I remember very vividly the last time I got a tetanus shot because it was when I got bit by a brown recluse. And... I hadn't had one in forever at that point, so they went and gave me one. Mainly you get tetanus is known to come around when you step on like a rusty nail and like I guess the bacteria from the rust and stuff like give you tetanus. Something along those lines. Again, I am not a doctor, any expert in any field, really. Unless masturbation is a expertise. I don't know. Masturbating myself. I've never masturbated any other fella. Fingered two different ladies. I don't know that I'd call myself a master of that, but baiting myself, I'm a master at that. Anyway, other than that, probably not a master of anything. Master of none. But I knew I was due for a tetanus shot, and I work with steel every day, you know? There's a high probability, you know, I work with rusted steel, a lot of rusted metal. I feel there's a high probability I could get cut and get infected with tetanus. That just wouldn't be good. I mean, I've not personally known anybody to get tetanus that I know of. But I hear it's shit-hey, where you can get like lockjaw, can kill you, can do some just some heinous shit. I want none of the above. So I was like, you know what? I should get a tetanus shot, and I didn't want to do it when I had to work because I have issues with my arm, like arms being sore anyway, like right where they give me the shot. So I'm like, I didn't want to have to go work through my arm being sore because I knew it was going to be really sore when I got the tetanus shot. Anytime I get a shot in my arm like that, it gets pretty damn sore. And the tetanus, there's like three different things in that shot, and they say like, yeah, it gets real fucking sore for the tetanus. Like, it's pretty sore right now, but I figured it would be worse. But I was, you know, playing Call of Duty the night before getting the shot, and I was telling them I was getting it done, like the crew I was playing with, and I told John, they're like, yeah, man, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry with that. It had been well over, like, I don't know, 15 years or so for John since he had had one. So, oh, maybe I should get one. But, you know, to be fair, usually, like, if you get severely injured, I don't think that's a word, seriously injured, like at work, or if you just go to the doctor and you've got like a gnarly cut, and they'll be like, hey, when was the last time you got a tetanus shot? They'll ask you that, and they'll give you the vaccine at that moment. So, I mean, you're probably pretty safe to just, like, not get one right away. But I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go ahead and get that, because one less thing I have to fucking worry about in life. And so, yeah, and I guess I talked about it enough to where John goes like, maybe I should get it. And I had an appointment, but you don't really need an appointment. You can get them at Walgreens. You don't have to go to the doctor. And I believe my insurance covered it so far. I haven't, seems that I don't have to pay for it, but hopefully not. If there's no insurance, I want to say they said it was like $80-something without insurance. Fun fact. There's there was the other two vaccinations, diphtheria and was it whooping cough, I think, are the other two they're involved. The tetanus is all I was concerned about. Anyway, John was giving me shit, and I had bought a bunch of stuff to make like breakfast, like serious breakfast. Normally I just do like fucking oatmeal and bananas with some pecans, throw a little syrup on there, syrup. And call it a day. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time working, you know, when I'm going to work that morning on like making breakfast for myself. So I don't get too crazy with it. But it was like, you know what? I'm going to make some big breakfasts while I'm up. Breakfast. I'm getting tongue twisted like a motherfucker tonight. So I got me some jumbo eggs. I got me some sausage links, the maple syrup flavored sausage links. Hash browns, some Ore-Ida, and was there something? Oh, I got some cinnamon rolls too, but I haven't made the cinnamon rolls yet. So I got all this stuff to make a big breakfast, and he was like giving me shit, like, "Oh, I need to come over so you can make me breakfast and all this shit." And I never know. Like, John could, when he says that stuff, he could just show up the next very morning and expect me to make him breakfast, or he could just be blowing smoke up my ass. But that's usually a Thursday night. No. he was talking about, I should get the shot, and then, like, you can come over and, like, we can have breakfast. And I was like, so I was like, he might be being serious. So I'm like, I'll wait to make breakfast. I just had like a banana before I went and got the shot, which I ended up being really fucking hungry by the time I got that shot. It was like 8:30 in the morning. I'm used to going to start and work at like 6 a.m. So I eat breakfast at like 4:35 in the morning. So my body's like, what's going on? Like, we need to eat. So I go to Walgreens at 8:30. And then I see John's Jeep, and I'm like, man, I'm pretty sure that's John's Jeep. I go inside, and, like, he's already in there, like, waiting for his shot. Like, so we got poked by the same guy. The same guy gave us the needle. Didn't share needles. I'm pretty sure he used two separate needles for the shots. And then we both went to Franklin's here in town and had breakfast, which was pretty good. I had the corned beef hash. I don't know what the fuck John had. He had something with some ham. And also, we both needed to get our hair cut because we both go to the same place, like Sport Clips. And so we went in there to get our hair cut together. Yeah, I just wanted to reinstate that we are not in a relationship. I am not fucking him. I'm really gay right up until the sex. Then I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. I do recall the time hanging out with Danny. Fucking love Danny. In the early days of the show, we went to the gay bar JJ's. And then, I got to experience kissing a guy then. And I really felt like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just not right. It's not right. And not right that it's wrong thing. For me, it was not right. I want to point out. It didn't feel right. Like, I'm all for, you know, guys on guys. Guy on guy action. I'm down with that. Except for if that guy's me. It's just not really my flavor, you know? To be clear. I mean, if you want to blow a guy and there's another guy, you go right ahead. Or whatever. You want to, I'm down for that. For you doing that. Because I keep digging a bigger hole for myself, I think. I remember just feeling the stubble against my stubble and like, oh, that is not a pleasant feeling. And then I was kind of thinking like, why would anybody, what male, female, or whatever, why would anybody want to kiss a guy? Maybe that's why I haven't. That's the thought that's back in my head. Oh, I can't fuck anybody. Well, who would want to do that? Maybe it's fine if you just don't kiss. That's the problem. Maybe I just don't like kissing. I didn't try the rest, so I guess I can't knock it. Anyway, we... I'm pretty sure, though, that I don't want to suck a dick. Pretty sure. It's never really been something that I was like, ooh, I want to do that. So, again, I haven't tried it. But, anyway, yeah, we had our haircuts together, and we were telling the hairdressers there, which John's got, he's got a bit of a crush on one of them, and he went to her, and he's even like got her on Facebook. I'm like, oh, John Boy's got some riz. So he's apparently she, I don't know if she's married or what, but yeah, he had her on Facebook, and he's messaged her and made sure she was there so he could get his hair cut. Now it's funny now that they know that we're like coworkers and friends. I imagine the next time I get my hair cut there, I'm gonna be getting quizzed, or like they'll be giving me shit about John. Well, they knew we both got the shot together and had breakfast right before getting our hair cut, and I was joking, which I know better than joke with John about this. So I was like, we should go get tattoos next. And there was jokes about us getting like matching ass tattoos or something of that nature. Now, I didn't mention the ass tattoos. I just said tattoos, and I didn't even say matching tattoos. I think he heard what he wanted to hear there and said matching tattoos. It'd be kind of funny, but the ass tattoos. But yeah, we ended up just kind of going our own special ways from there, and I went to like the dentist and paid a bill. That was... And then later that night, I went and did a group run, which is solid fun run. I had my first like sub 8 minute mile, you know, 5 mile run. It was like an 8:20 average overall. And that's the fastest run I've had at a 5 mile run in probably a few years. So, I mean, things are looking fairly up as far as, you know, you look outside of politics for me. From a physical standpoint, I guess, things are looking all right at the moment. And, yeah, I had a, oh, man, killer burger over there at the beer deck. It was a mushroom Swiss burger. Fantastic. I'm doing the Italian hands like Luigi over here. It's just fabuloso burgers. Delicioso. I don't really know Italian, so I can't really do a... I haven't worked on any Italian words. I need to start working on German again, as, of course, John and I are still planning on hitting Germany back going next September, which I'll really start diving into that after Christmas here, get the holiday stuff wrapped up, and start to put a plan together. I know that in January, I want to renew my passport and then start looking into getting a plan together. Which, I mean, I don't really need much of a plan, but as far as, like, actually booking shit goes. I imagine I'll go through Orbitz again, probably, and book the flight and hotel. And, so I'll probably want to learn some German on the way there. And then, of course, I did spend some more time with John Boy the other night. Yet not night, really, so much as the day. We went yesterday, Friday, to Hot Shots because we had played pool there, well, I guess, a couple of times now. And enjoy playing. I hadn't played pool in forever, and it made me really, this is making me really regret not getting a pool table and getting the sofa. I'm like, son of a bitch. You know, pool tables aren't that fucking loud. I think if I would have just done it during the day, it wouldn't have really bothered my neighbors. So like it was constantly be playing pool. But man, I've been pretty terrible. Like when the first day we went and played pool, I was horrible, just fucking horrible. And but I'm getting. I mean, I was better back in the day. I wasn't amazing by any stretch of any imagination. I was okay, but I was a lot better than I am now. And I'm starting to get more of a feel for it again, although I'm still very inconsistent. It'll seem like, okay, I figured it out. I've got it down now. I'm like nail like 3 or 4 shots, like decent shots in a row, and then shit the bed. I'm shitting all over the bed like I'm back in Russia. Like just slop, 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 slop. And anyway, I'm even possibly considering I might just get my own cue stick. We stopped by Dick's the other day before heading out to Hot Shots, and they had cue sticks on their website, but they don't have any in the store that I'm aware of, unfortunately. I might just order one online, get it sent to me. I did see there was a billiard store. There used to be one here in town, but I'm pretty sure that's gone. My old landlord, Spitball Charlie, that is Charlie Darling, who's a trick shot pool champion. So he was a fun landlord, too. He was a good dude. He looks like a very 70s porn star, big afro and like cheesy mustache. Looks like John Holmes, if you're familiar with John Holmes. Anyway... I'm getting updates from a messenger group, our Call of Duty Warzone group. there's some banter going on. It's distracting me a little bit. But yeah, there was I did not stop at the billiard shop in Pacific. I passed on that, but I was thinking, I was like, ooh, it'd be really nice to have a nice cue stick. I mean, that's probably not going to improve my game much, but I like the heavier sticks, and there's not many of the heavier sticks at the pool halls. Like, I like a good, like, 21-ouncer, and they usually have, like, 1 or 2 of those. I like one with a little bit of heft, a little bit of weight. I feel like it rests on my hand easier when it's got the weight to it. Just my preference. You know, I've never had anybody like really go over, you know. I've started watching some pool videos earlier, some tips and tricks, but I've never like had an expert at pool like go over like the ins and outs of. I mean, my dad showed me stuff early on, which he was pretty decent at pool. He could do some trick shots and stuff, but yeah, I haven't gone a deep dive into pool. But yeah, I might just buy a Q-Stick. We did go to the Hot Shots. Unfortunately, they had like a party reserved around those tables and stuff. And so we ended up just leaving. We ate at Hot Shots, left Hot Shots, and there was this pool hall that I knew about that I've been to like 15 or 20 years before. I wasn't sure if it still existed, but I found it online. It was Pink Galleons. There's two locations in the St. Louis area. One in like Creve Coeur. We didn't go to the Creve Coeur one. We went to the ones considered the St. Louis address. It's shit, trying to remember off the top of the old head here. Here we go. This is the address on that one. That one's over on it doesn't say. That one. Oh, Butler Hill Road. It's over on Butler Hill Road. It's in a little strip mall. I haven't been to the Creve Coeur. I'm pretty sure the Butler Hill Road one was the one I was at quite a few years ago. The 15, 20 years ago, whatever the hell it was. It was a long time ago. That being said, they've got a bunch of pool tables. Now, if you go to a place like Hot Shots, and most places I know that have pool tables around here, you got the coin-operated pool tables, which is kind of annoying to have to keep getting change, you know? And then there's only so many games. I mean, you're basically restricted to pretty much 8-ball when you're doing the coin-operated ones. If you got three people and you want to do, like, knockout, it's pretty hard to do that on coin operated unless you're going to catch the balls as they fall. Because in knockout, if you like scratch when you knock somebody's ball in, you pull that person can decide to either pull the ball out that they knocked in and put it back on the table, or you take I don't remember exactly how to play knockout. I know you're going to take people's balls out of the pocket and put it back on if like somebody scratches. And then, or they decide to do that, or they have to knock an extra one of their balls in, which I guess in that case you would just knock. If you're playing quarters, then you're going to have to just knock one of your balls in. And you're just not going to get people back in the game. But knockout can be really fun. And nine ball seems like a waste of money if you're doing like quarters. If you only got nine as opposed to 15 balls. And it seems like it'd be a bit of a waste to have the old nine ball. Which nine ball is just harder to do in general, I find. You know, you got to hit the balls in order. Say you're going for the one, you can knock in other balls, but you have to hit the numbers in sequentially order. You can hit like the one and knock in the nine, but you got to knock the one into the nine to get it in. And then you like win the game if you knock the nine in via that. But if you, that might be like, you might put the nine back on. I don't remember nine ball rules either. I remember eight ball because that's, you know, mainly what I've played in my life. But Pink Galleons, yeah, we went there and I'd forgotten. Like I'd only been there like once. I think it was a long time ago with Muffin Man, Toddy the Body, and our friend Heather. And we had gone there amongst like a few other places. But I just remember that they had is Pink Galleons, and the majority of their pool tables were pink. I remember that. And they had like a shooting arcade game that we played for a while. But it was pretty cool that we went there to the Pink Galleons because, again, they weren't quarter-based tables. You rent the tables out, essentially. They have a deal where if it's Monday through Friday, I want to say it was 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. during those hours, pool is free. All you got to do is give them your license, and you have to buy one thing an hour, so like one drink an hour. Like that seems – that's pretty much free if you ask me. I was going to get a drink anyway. So, I mean, that's a solid deal. And then, you know, the later hours and then like Saturday, and I guess they're open on Sundays. I'm not sure. You got to pay per hour, but it's only like $9.50 per hour. I feel like that's pretty decent price for playing pool. And to top it all off, I mean, the pool tables are really nice. They keep the felt in really good condition. And comparing those tables to Pink Galleons to Hot Shots tables, holy hell, the balls rolled so much nicer on there because it had the good felt. Those tables over there at Hot Shots, though I like Hot Shots, you know, but like the Hot Shots has been around for quite a while now too. And they don't seem to really take care of those tables. They do not seem to give much of a shit as far as like the felt on those tables. You can just see all the dirt and shit on the felt. And you can tell they're not brushing this felt and like doing any kind of maintenance on it. Those balls don't travel real nicely, but man, Pink Galleons, hell yeah, those tables are the shiznet. Shiznet. So I gotta say, if you're around the St. Louis area, you want to go play some pool, Pink Galleons is the way to go. We didn't have any problems when we were there. It was fairly early in the day. We were there at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, you know. But it does look like one of those places, though, where it could get a rough crowd later in the night. I mean, the place has been around for a couple of decades, and it looks like you're walking into a strip club, which is pretty, pretty awesome. But like, they've got all the font, like the pink font on all the letters and everything. And they've got these paintings all around that look like they're from an old, like, van, like a shag van, you know, from back in the day, like painted on, like the wizard, like painted on and shit. But there's a lot of females, like painted paintings of females. And then you go to the bathroom. I did not go into the ladies' bathroom, but I can say for certain the men's bathroom. It looks even more like you're at a strip club because there is like naked women. Like you don't see like actual nipple or vag. You don't get full frontal nudity, but they do have pretty much bare naked, you know, close to naked ladies. And there's like an old picture of Jenna Jameson back from when she was big. I'm talking like 20 years ago, Jenna Jameson, like in the bathroom. They probably put it up the day that that poster came out. The old porn star, Jenna Jameson, who was huge like 20 years ago. But I'm going to venture to guess all those pictures of the ladies that are up in that bathroom are all from at least like 20 years ago. But yeah, if you can give it over that, which I didn't find that to be that big of a deal. It's a pool hall. What do you expect? I don't know that you want to bring kids there. It's a bunch of dudes drinking and playing pool. This is what's going on there. But if you're a dude, you want to drink and play pool, it's a great place for that. Now, you're not going to get eye candy like you would at, say, a Hot Shots. There's not a bunch of waitresses around in skimpy outfits. But if you're down for playing some good pool, man, those pool tables are the way to go. The way to go. Yeah. So that was the excitement there. As for like what I'm doing the rest of the holiday, other than going to family stuff, I don't have. I assume I'm going to do New Year's Eve over at Jackman's. They usually do like board games and stuff. The one year they did a fake casino. I'm assuming we're doing something of that nature. I haven't gotten a hold of them yet. Eat a bunch of food. I know that the Blues will be playing the Winter Classic at Wrigley Field in Chicago on New Year's Eve. And, oh, man. There's a good chance, though, I will go to a Blues game. Not that game, but one during the break. We'll see. There's like two options next week, one on Friday, one on Sunday. Tickets are a little bit more pricier than I would hope they would be, but I did get an email for like 30% off. I'll probably check into that at some point. See how much of a deal I can get. I don't want to spend a fortune. They're doing the Winter Classic, which would be awesome to go to, but I looked up just for shits and giggles what the cost of those tickets would be. I think the last I looked, the cheapest ticket was like $275. Which, you know, honestly, if it was here outside somewhere, which I don't think it would be work out very good here outside anywhere, but I might consider it because, I mean, it's just such a cool event to have that. But seeing as though it's in Chicago and I'd also have to get to Chicago and back, that's going to be a little costly, just the traveling back and forth. And I'd probably have to at least stay there one night. Imagine I'm not going to want to just get back on. I mean, I guess I'd take the train and just sleep on the train or something. Either way, I mean, it would be fucking cool. It would be super cool. And I like the jerseys that they have for Chicago and St. Louis for it. Oh, it is starting to look like I am getting a little disappointed with the management of the Blues, because it does seem like they are just not concerned about making the playoffs at all this year, which I thought they were really going to make a push. And, you know, they did see a bit of a bump here with getting Montgomery in as the new head coach. But the trade for one of the Joseph brothers for future considerations really had me, was a sign to me saying, like, hey, we know you're not going to make the playoffs this year. And, you know, I feel like you got to, not just for the fans, to, you know, really seem like you're invested in this team and that you think that, you know, they can make it somewhere this year, that I feel like doing that kind of sends bad signals to, like, especially your younger players on the team, you know. Just kind of my thought, you know. You don't, there's a lot of young guys on the Blues. I mean, like, hey, we're not concerned. Although, I mean, I'm sure they still want to play hard, even if they don't think they're going to make the playoffs. That their jobs really depend on how well they do this season. Whether, you know, they stay in St. Louis, what kind of contracts they get, what have you. I still feel like that's just kind of a kind of a shit move to just future considerations. I don't know. I don't follow, you know, management movements that much. Maybe this is a routine thing. I don't know that Joseph has really put up that kind of numbers to really warrant much of anything, but still. And his brother's still playing on the team. That can sit real well in his stomach there. And I don't know all the background stuff. You know, I haven't been watching the Blues this much in a possibly ever. I mean, there's times I've watched the Blues a lot, but I mean, I've really gotten a lot more involved in hockey this season. So to say I'm an expert is a bit of a joke. but it's been fun going to the games and such. I know I will be going to Star Wars night on January 3rd. It is like right after I go back to work. I'll be going to a game there. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Star Wars night. That should be interesting. I like the jerseys that you get with it. Well, it's sort of a jersey. It's like a hoodie. Star Wars hoodie. And I feel like there was something I was going to talk about too, and I totally got sidetracked. I remember what it was. Yeah, today, I didn't do a whole lot today. Other than make breakfast, big old breakfast. And I did go do a little Christmas shopping today. Because, you know, a couple Christmases ago, right around the time I started the job I'm working at now, I had bought my mother and Shelly. Well, I gave my mom my old record player as I bought a different one because I was like, you know what? I had too much money. They gave us a bonus at work, and I wasn't expecting to get a bonus. I'm like, oh, fuck, I got this extra cash. And I had just bought, and it wasn't like I had an old record player. I had just bought a record player. I was like, you know what? I kind of wanted a better one. Oh, which is kind of shame when we look at it like that. But I gave my mom my old one, which was like a month old at that point, if that. And I had bought in Shelly a record player too, which was basically like the one I'd given my mom. So I gave him the equivalent of the same thing. But it was, you know, it was a thing to make giving gifts easier, because then I could just be like, hey, here we go. This is a record I think you would like. But I bought both of them some records. I did buy myself one record too. I couldn't pass it up. It was like $20 for Jimi Hendrix's Are You Experienced? And I mean, I had to. But also while I was there, River City Music here in town, which I got to say, if you're into records and stuff, check out River City Music. They have a lot of used and new records. Their records change a lot. They've got quite a bit of inventory, and you can find some really good used records there, as well as the new ones. Anywho, yeah, it's a good place. It's just a good local music store. They got quite a bit of floor space now, as they had gotten the store next to it. And they opened up through there too, and like have a bigger floor space now. But they have, I had mentioned, I guess a month or so ago, that they had the Dave Grohl guitar, and I had played like a chord on it. Well, today I didn't buy it. I want to say I didn't buy it. I did not buy the guitar. But I had them take it off the wall and give me a cord to plug it into an amp. And I was able to play a little bit of the guitar. I played a little bit of Foo Fighters, a little bit of this, a little of that. Nothing too crazy. I still get weird, even though, you know, I'm pretty decent at playing a lot of shit on guitar. I get weirded out in general about playing in front of people, but I get real nervous playing in like a guitar store, because I figure there's got to be somebody in there that's really good at guitar. That's way better than me. Also, you know, people have very varying tastes in music, and I don't know that anything I'm going to play is something necessarily that they're going to like. That being said, I'm just like real nervous, like playing. I did not play my best on that Dave Grohl guitar. Playing it didn't, I like the guitar, but playing it there, like, I didn't feel that I had to walk out with it, thankfully. And I think the amp I chose to play on, or agreed to play on, whatever, was the perfect amp for me to really choose from. It was a Fender amp, which I figured I should go with something, a Fender, because I have the one Fender Champ that I play a lot on. And, the one I went was like a cheaper one that was like a digital one where they had like a bunch of presets. And I don't know, I wasn't really feeling that amp so much. I wish I would have. I don't think they had a Fender Champ, but I should have probably went with a different amp. And the guitar was out of tune when I picked it up, which is only the B string and the high E. Well, I was able to like tune it. They walked out with a tuner because they could hear me like tune it. Like, oh, we tuned it just the other day. I thought it'd be, like, I was like, I don't need the tuner. It's like fine enough. But it did bother me. I guess I didn't have it still completely in tune, because I thought I did, but just going off of ear. But I could tell as I was playing stuff, like, well, that didn't sound fucking right. But I didn't know if it was like the pickups or the amp, or just like it was a bit out of tune still. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a cool guitar. I mean, there's a lot of reason why I would love, I mean, just being a fan of the Foo Fighters. I'm afraid just touching that, I'm going to get a secret love child from Dave Grohl inside me. but, you know, I was there for a while. I was thinking I was just going to trade my Epiphone Riviera, the Noel Gallagher signature, which I could give a shit less that it's a Noel Gallagher. I mean, I like some Oasis stuff, but I just like the guitar. I ordered it because I wanted a big semi-hollow guitar, and because I just loved the semi-hollow guitars. They are fun to play, man, and you don't have to amp them up. You know, they sound good like acoustically. If you just want to mess around with it without an amp, and then you can also amp it up, which I really enjoy that guitar. I play it quite a bit still. It's in my top three guitars currently of being played. But there's a lot of shit I don't like about it. I like how it looks. I like the dark wine red. The tuners on it suck. They're really small tuners. It's kind of a bitch to tune. Which is annoying. And the, like the pickups. The neck profile's maybe not my favorite. But overall, I mean, it is fun to play. It's hard to just go like, oh, I'm going to trade this in and go get that Dave Grohl guitar. The Dave Grohl guitar... It is quite a bit more money for that Dave Grohl than the Noel Gallagher. It's made with better parts and such. Now, I couldn't tell by playing it. Again, had I played it through maybe my Fender Champ, I could tell a lot better here about the... Because it's got Gibson, actual Gibson burst buckers in there. It's got orange drop capacitors. That's not... That was a thing you would never see... in a like a Chinese-made Epiphone. But until the last couple of years, they started doing this. I think maybe the Adam Jones Epiphone was maybe the first. Maybe it was a Jerry Cantrell. I'm not sure. But it's fairly recently that they started doing that with using like Gibson USA parts and doing like more higher-end Epiphones that were Chinese-made. But the Noel Gallagher is not... like that. They use the cheaper parts. And, I mean, I feel like definitely with the pickups, I mean, I think I can tell. I think it's just maybe those specific pickups are not what I would prefer burst bucker, like what is in the Dave Grohl. Which, I mean, I guess I could buy some burst buckers, but that's like $300 if I bought some brand new Gibson burst buckers, unless I found like a good deal. I'm sure I could probably find maybe some better ones, like used ones on Reverb for decent. But anyway, yeah, I love the headstock better, way better on that, the DG335, the Dave Grohl, as it's a six in line instead of the three over three, like most of, like you see on acoustics, you know, it's got the, six in line, like the Firebird headstock is like, well, I think the Trini Lopez was actually the first, which the DG335 was based on the Trini Lopez signature Gibson. I could be wrong, but I think that was the first to use that headstock, the six in line headstock, like on it's exactly the Firebird headstock. I might be wrong. The Firebird might have come before the Trini Lopez. Either way, it's on the DG335 is based on a Trini Lopez. But I like that headstock. I like the tuning keys on it. If I'd probably, if I really got that guitar, I might just like go out and get some locking tuners and shit on there. Go all crazy. But that'd be a lot of money to spend on something than to just like start modding out. I have swapped the tuners out on, you know, my old Les Paul had for like 20 plus years, but it was a Korean made Epiphone that I spent a good chunk of change when I first got it, but you know, I had it forever and it didn't hurt me to put some new holes in it for some tuners. But yeah, I've held off yet again to get that DG335 and I don't know. I might still get it at some point. Maybe not. I'm pretty sure at some point I will get another semi-hollow guitar. It's a good chance it'll be a real 335 from Gibson, though. ES-335 of some sort from the mod shop. And then just hopefully find a real solid deal on one. But yeah, I guess that's... pretty much all I've got as I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit as speaking of Gibson stuff. Oh, I just wanted to lose the Gibson mod shop page. Thankfully, it appears that they sold the ES-335 that I was really jonesing over It's not on their page anymore. So I got that. I don't have to worry about that. Man, they got some pretty badass Les Pauls, though. I don't need any more Les Pauls. But they definitely have some nice lookers on there. As I'd love to just have a guitar with a really sweet maple, quilted maple top on it. Just really nicely figured, quilted maple. Just, I'm getting hard just thinking about it. Which is crazy for me to, you know, spend all this kind of money. And I'm nervous just playing guitar in a guitar store. I just enjoy playing guitar at home for myself. And yet I'm over here like, hey, let's spend like 10 grand on a guitar. I better win that Powerball later. Keep making bad decisions like this. But yeah, anyway, I guess we're good here. So as always, I was just thinking, yeah, I guess next week's Merry Christmas, I guess, because this is the last show I'll be doing before then. I'll be recording, I guess, the next one I'll be doing is like a couple days after Christmas. Really snuck up on me there. But yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Life Day. And all the Festivus for the rest of us. All that good stuff. And as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.